Good morning, saints. Can you believe this weather? I mean, summer has finally arrived, hasn't it? And I certainly think we've been blessed. I'm looking at the weather forecast, and it looks like we might have 5 or 6 more days of sun. That is unbelievable, but I think we deserve it, right? So not only are we blessed with sunshine these last few weeks, we're also blessed with a wonderful body of believers here at Grace Christian. So as is our tradition, let's take this time to stand up and greet everybody in the name of the Lord. Does anybody else need a hug before we start? Okay. What's that? Oh. The hugs are very healthy. You need at least 1 or 2 a week, at least at a very minimum. A day, well, there you go. Make sure you're friends with the person you hug, though. So. I want to tell you a story. I remember when my son Noah was in grade school and he was taking swimming lessons. He always had no trouble getting in the water. He had no trouble with being in the pool. Once he got in, he could easily keep up with the rest of the people. And his teacher was always very patient with him until the end of the second swimming session or second season of lessons that he took. And it was when she was deciding which students go on to the next level and which don't. At one of the final lessons, Noah came to the pool's edge and was told to dive in and swim to the other side, and he froze. He hesitated. I remember Ginger and I were watching him, and he'd go up to that edge of the pool, and then he would back off. And his teacher, who was in the pool, encouraged him, as always, and said, "You know, Noah, it's time for you to get in the pool with the rest of the class. You have learned everything that I have taught you, everything that was needed to make the swim to the other side of the pool." So he stood there looking at her, appearing unwilling to follow her directions or instructions to go to the other side with the rest of the class. And then she said something with a big sigh that just breaks a parent's hearts as we're watching this, you know, evolve. She said to him, "Go sit on the bench." And she kind of swam away with the other people. So what did Noah do next? He paced the pool's edge back and forth one more time, and then he turned abruptly and ran and dove into the pool. Just as graceful as Johnny Weissmuller, if any of you are old enough to remember who Johnny Weissmuller is. Mark Spitz, or who's the other swimmer? Phelps. But it was graceful, and he jumped in, he dove in, and he caught up with the rest of the kids without any effort at all. And his teacher greeted him on the other side with a simple, "You get into the water when I tell you to, for now on." And he did. And never did he miss that chance of diving in to be with his buddies. To be with a teacher that was his safety net, that was always in the water waiting for him to jump and to be there as his safety net. But don't we all sometimes have the same trouble in getting to the other side? Getting to the other side of situations, or getting on the other side of our walk with Christ? It really is scary when he sends you to the other side, isn't he? Isn't it? I mean, that's scary. I mean, he may even ask you to move from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Calumet, Michigan, where the winter is 6 months long and the snow is deep. In any case, a walk with Jesus on the other side is exciting. It's adventurous. and many times frightening, especially when he asks us to come out of our comfort zone. You've all felt that, haven't you? Sometimes we pray, Lord, whatever you do, don't send me there, because I don't think I could do that. But you know, we're not the only ones in which Jesus asked to get in the water, because it happened about 2,000 years ago in a boat on a sea in the middle of a storm in the middle of the night. So today's sermon comes from Matthew 14, verse 22 through 33. It's a very familiar passage because it's where Jesus walks on the water. I know some of us think that we can too, but with him we can. But it is on these verses that I develop my sermon. I call my sermon Walking on Water, or Going Before Him to the Other Side. So please turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. We'll read 22 through 33. I'll be reading today from the New King James Version. But before we do, tell somebody next to you, it's time to learn how to walk on water with Jesus. Doesn't that feel good? It's time to learn to walk on water with Jesus. Okay. Not many of you are smiling. Let's say it again. It's time to walk on the water, to learn to walk on the water with Jesus. Okay. Let's go to our verses here. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go with Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you just praising your name, understanding that there are places that you want to take us, understanding that you want to get us out of our circumstances, understanding that you want to change our lives, understanding that you want to take us to a new level, and understanding that you have a great plan for our lives. Also, Lord, I know you understand our weaknesses and how sometimes it is tough to take that step out of the boat and to chase after you. Dear Lord, I ask that you reveal this scripture to us in a real meaningful way so that we can apply it to our lives. I ask that your anointing fall fresh today, that your spirit envelops this whole building, and that we're open to hear what you have to say, and our hearts are open to receive it. Please, Lord, use me and help me to put myself aside and open myself as a vessel for your spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our story after Jesus had fed the 5,000. Do all of you remember that story of the 5,000? What a miracle. Jesus was on the hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Not only was that a miracle, They picked up the leftovers that equated to 12 baskets of fish and bread. I thought my mom was great when she would feed a family of six with bread and cheese and tomato soup. You know that. But Jesus did a miracle. But after that miracle, the multitude surrounded him because they wanted to put him on a pedestal. And so he got away. So what he had to do was go away to be with Father God. So he went away to be with God, and he sent his disciples away. And let's do a review of the verses we just talked about. And let's see, let's go to Jesus in the water scene and watch God's word become real to us and paint a picture for us. In verse 22, we note that Jesus didn't take much time to get away. It said immediately after they had fed the multitude, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. And immediately he sent the multitude away. And it was in such an instant. In the Gospel of John, we realize that the crowd was intending to take him by force to make him king. So you wonder, why would they take Jesus away? I mean, why would Jesus want to go out immediately? And it was because they wanted to make him king and put him on a pedestal. And why would he want to send the disciples away? Because the disciples would see and agree to making Jesus as king and want themselves to be the royal officers of this new kingdom. So you can see what Jesus was thinking. It's like, I got to get away. They're pressing against me. They want to make me king. I don't need that temptation. The boys don't need that temptation. It's time to immediately get out of here, and I have to go to the mountain and pray. So that's a scene we see as Jesus went up on the mountain by himself. And when evening came, he was alone with God, and the men were in the boat in the ocean. In verse 24, we see that the boat was now in the middle of the sea. So let's pretend we're in the boat. How many have been out on Lake Superior in rough weather? You can raise your hands. Okay. How many have been out there with 12-foot waves? Right here. So here we go. They're in a boat in the middle of the sea, and they're tossed to and fro from the waves. You can just imagine. Of course, I don't think they had a raincoat like this, but you can imagine what was going on in their minds. They were in the middle of the sea, which was about 3.5 miles from shore, and about probably 3.5 miles equidistantly from shore. So they couldn't beat it back to shore without it taking the same amount of time. The shore was not close. And then so basically they were in a state of no return. Have you ever felt like that? You've been in a state of no return, right? I think we all have been. And they were being tossed up and down. You're going to see the waves coming. They're being tossed up and down. You got to visualize this. It's not like they were in the boat and Jesus said, walk out. They're in the boat and the waves toss them back and forth. And it says the wind was contrary. Well, you know what it means, being contrary? It was their opponent. It was fighting them. You ever fight a storm? You know what that's about. You know, you're trying to move one direction and the waves take you back. So you keep rowing and the waves take you back. That's the scene that we see here, that the wind was contrary. And here they were in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. Now, verse 25 says it was in the fourth watch of the night that Jesus went to them. The fourth watch. Jewish tradition said that there was only three watches for the evening. So when people read this saying it's a fourth watch, they say, what's the deal here? Jewish tradition says in the evening there's only three watches. But for the Romans, there were four watches in the evening. And they were 6 to 9 p.m., 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6. So it was in the fourth watch that Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And what would you think about 3 a.m.? What time to you is that? To us, it's the middle of the night, isn't it? Middle of the night. So here we are, the disciples in a boat with the water raging against them, with the wind coming against them. In the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, and in the middle of the night. Is it just like God to come up to appear at that right time? And the disciples seeing this thing, this figure walking on the water, what do they think it was? It's a ghost. And then, can you imagine? Here they are, they're tossed about, okay? And the wind's blowing, and they see not only that, they see this apparition, and they're scared to death. Absolutely scared to death. Because it says they cried out, like, what's this? This is all I need in the middle of the sea, and, you know, in the middle of a storm, and in the middle of the night, and then a spirit coming against us. That's all we need. I can just see him say that. That's when Jesus again, immediately. Don't you like that word? Say that word, immediately. How quick is immediately? It's that quick. And Jesus showed up and he said, immediately, be of good cheer. He said, don't worry. Be happy. I mean, that's a weird thing to say. Be of good cheer. But he was serious. He's saying, okay, it is okay. When you read this verse, it says, it is I. A better translation says, I am. I love that. So he's out there and walking on the water. He said, you don't need to worry. I am God. I am God. What's there to worry about? Don't be afraid. It's okay, guys. I'm here. I'm here. In the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night. I'm here. And I am God. Then you have Peter. How many people here love Peter? Type A personality. Right? Type A. Right, Jim? You're raised type A personality. Type A personality says, if it got to get done, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right away. Peter always ran after Jesus, did it right away. He was chastised many times for doing things right away. When he told Jesus, you'll not be killed, you'll not be taken captive and killed. That's when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because it was that impulse. The impulse says, I will never deny you. Never. That was the impulse. That's a type A personality. Instant impulse. And he denied him three times. It's also the one that lopped off an ear when they came to take Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I love type A personalities. And you've got to give Peter a lot of credit. Because he looks at Jesus and he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And you know what Jesus did? Called his bluff. Couldn't you just see Peter's, if it's you, Lord, I'm coming after you. And Jesus looks at him and he says, come. You can just see Peter saying, oh no, what did I do now? You know, the classic type A foot and mouth disease. That's who Peter was. But you got to give him credit. Because he did walk out to the water to go to Jesus. You can just imagine. He said, okay, I trust this. This is good. He's focusing on Jesus. But he's not focusing on Jesus with calm waters. He's focusing on Jesus with the waves battering him back and forth, with the wind blowing him back and forth, knowing that he's dead center in the sea. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Boy, sort of like us, isn't it? When we take our focus off Jesus and on our circumstances, what happened? What happens? We sink. And that's what happened. Exactly what happened to Peter. You got to give Peter credit, because Peter was a praying man. And this might be the shortest prayer in the Bible, because then Peter says, "Lord, save me." See, we don't have to have a prayer list that runs 200 pages. There are some times we can just cry to the Lord and say, "Help, help." And that's what happened here. Peter said, "Lord, save me. Just save me, because I don't think I can do that." But verse 31 is amazing, because again, it says, and immediately, say that again, immediately. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. At that very moment, that's all it took. And sometimes we only cry out to God, do we? Sometimes things really got to get tough before we take that last prayer of, "Lord, save me," and step out and say, "Lord, save me." He was in the water, just like Noah's teacher was in the water. Jesus was his safety net. And all he said was, "Lord, save me." And immediately God stretched out his hand and took him in. The test was over. The situation was over. The guys, the disciples, did not think too highly of themselves anymore, did they? It was object lesson to them. It was object lesson to Peter. And after that was done, after they saw this visual teaching, after they saw that, the wind ceased. Isn't that great? After they saw that, and Jesus got in the boat, all was calm. And all was peaceful. Sounds good on paper, doesn't it? The fear of walking on water with Jesus is real and it's common. Especially in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, you know, in the middle of a storm. How many here have faced that? Those circumstances, those crises. It's very common. I think one of the biggest fear of going into the water with Jesus is the water seems to be over our heads. How many feel that way, that sometimes the water is over our heads? Right. We all do. We all do. It's too deep out there. It's too deep without him. When Jesus sends us to the other side of problems or circumstances, or tells us to go to the next step in ministry or deeper relationship with him, we don't know what to do with that. We say, "Well, you know, we're not ready. We can't jump in this pool. You must be talking to somebody else." And the responsibility seems too great. And the fear of drowning seems great, doesn't it? To jump out of our circumstances and trust Jesus, the fear of drowning just seems too great. Number two, it's a scary unknown. We don't know what's underneath or what we're getting into when we try to walk on water, do we? When we try to follow Jesus and getting out of the boat. Maybe staying out of the pool is better. I won't have to embarrass myself. Maybe staying out of the pool is better because I don't have to face the problems by trying to address it with Jesus. Maybe people won't like me if I step out. Maybe they'll disagree with me. And maybe I'll just make situations worse. And we keep making excuses of what could happen to us versus what could be. Versus what could be. Number three, getting in the water could be uncomfortable. Because sometimes the water is too cold. Sometimes it's too yucky. And certainly, it's too outside our comfort zone. We kind of like the situations we're in sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we use those bad situations as a security blanket. Sometimes we don't want anything better. Sometimes we like the drama. And we certainly don't want to go out there in the real world. We don't like those people, and they, you know, they hate me. And just like Jonah with the people of Nineveh, which he hated very much, God sent him there to really bring salvation to a whole nation. We can say, I don't like this place. I don't like the place he's sending me. It's too difficult. Or the age old, I've never done it before. This is way out of my comfort zone. The water is just too cold. The water is just too yucky for me to jump in. And last but not least, a major fear is that we're not sure if we are good enough to swim to the other side and aren't trained in the finer points of walking on water. How do we do this? How do we get out of our situations? How do we go forward with God? This is all new to me. I can't do this. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough theological background. I'm not skilled at this. I can't. I'm not a teacher. I don't do this. I can't do that. I'm inadequate. I can't walk on water. I can't swim. I can't go the mile. I've never done it before. And I don't think I'm good enough to do that. I can't compete. But how do we, and how did the disciples get out of their problem? How do we overcome these fears of getting in the water? Well, sometimes we need to focus on Jesus. When Peter focused on Jesus, what happened? He walked on water. When he focused and depended on Jesus, when he stepped out and that was his sole focus, God took him to a new level. A new level that he hadn't even seen in himself. Sort of like how a little kid focuses on you when they start, they do their first steps. How many of you have seen your kids take their first steps? And where's their focus? Their focus is one thing, and that's on your arms. Their focus isn't on the ground. Their focus isn't up above. They're looking at mommy and daddy, and they are running to them. That's a focus we need with Jesus. To run to him and just say, Jesus, take me where you want me to go, because I'm ready. Number two, know that you are equipped when he sends you. My son Noah's teacher said that, Noah, you're ready. I've taught you all that was needed. You've practiced. You can get in the water. It's okay. It's you. You think God treats us differently? You think God will take us to a different level in which he won't be there to help you? That he doesn't think that that's, if he's sending you a place, he doesn't think that you're equipped? Do you think he would do that to you? No. No, he won't. 1 John 2:27 says this. As for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you abide in him. I mean, that says it all. God will teach us. God will show us. God will talk through us. God will take us and help us in the next situation. Number three, remember that the teacher is also in the water. As for Noah, the teacher was in the water. Jesus is there. And remember, Jesus went to the disciples and was available to them when it was absolutely needed. Wasn't he there when it was needed? Absolutely needed. So he was in, get this, he was in the middle of their circumstances. So he will be in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night. Do you believe that? I do. I do. And whatever he tells you to do, you need to understand that he's in the middle of it. He's absolutely in the middle of it. And last, and most importantly, understand that he is immediately ready and able to stretch out his hand and catch you. What's that word again? Immediately. I always call God the nick of time God. How many here have been in circumstances that weren't resolved until 5 or 6 minutes before it had to be? Right? Right? I mean, we have testimonies here of people that have been crying out to God, and God says, yes, I'll do it. But in his timing, at the last minute, immediately, things get resolved. Maybe sometimes we don't call out to him and say, Lord, save me. Maybe we keep on hanging on to it because we think we can do it ourselves. Maybe we hang on to it forever saying, it's mine. I kind of like this, and that I don't need any help from anybody at any time. But the instant that Peter said those three small words, Lord, save me, Jesus was there. The last verse of this segment says, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Just total recognition of God being in their lives. That's what the disciples recognized. It's like, wow, why do we fret? Wow. Why did we let the circumstances take us away from our faith? Wow, why didn't we have the faith like Peter to step out in the water? Wow, he calmed the sea. Wow, I am. He is God, and we're not. And last, I don't know whether we have the last slides. Just remember one thing. For Jesus, it wasn't the sandals. It wasn't the sandals. It was him and who he was and who he is today. And that is, I am. I always was. I always will be. I'm the Almighty God. So where do we go from here? Well, here's where we go. I believe that God has a higher calling for every one of us. A higher calling in our individual circumstances that we're trying to get out of. A higher calling to take us to a next level of relationship with him. A higher calling within the mission of Grace Christian Fellowship Church. He wants us to come out of our comfort zone and everything that we cling to. And that takes us down. And he wants us, all of us, to get to the other side. It's time, folks. Let's get to the other side. So the questions I have, though, are you ready to go where he takes you? Are you going to stay in the boat or on the bench? Or do you want to walk with him? Yes, even on the water. I will tell you this much, because I've been in the boat. There's so much more excitement and future in us in the water with him than that stupid boat that gets rocked about and that confines us. So what will you do if you say to him, God, I'm going to go wherever you want me to go, and he looks at you, he says, come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we love your word. And Lord, there are many times that even I, yes, a pastor, feel like I'm in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, and you're out there standing, and I just won't come. I just don't want to. And I'll pace that boat, and I'll come to the edge, and I'll say, not today, Lord. I also know, Lord, that every time I jump out of that boat, there's excitement, and there's adventure, and there's transition, and there's transformation, and there's renewal. And there's peace of mind and calm as you reach into that sea within our heart and you just give us that peace that passes all understanding. Dear Lord, we love you. We ask you, Lord, that you teach us the fine points of walking on water with you. That when you call us, we know that you wouldn't call us unless you know that we're prepared to jump out. Also, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I need to ask this important question, and that is, there might be some here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's trying to tread water and just can't do it. And the currents pull them over, the waves are over their heads, and they're so deep. Those that have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. If you are one of those people and have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior for the first time, I'm asking you to think about that. Here's a prayer you say. You say, "Dear Lord, I've got to get out of this boat. This boat is confining me. This boat's killing me. Lord, I repent of my sins. I want to run towards you. As a baby that's taking his first step is running towards a father or a mommy. I want to do that." It's a simple prayer. Those of you that don't know Christ, again, you just say, "Dear Lord, I repent of my sins, and now I want a life with you. I'm going to run towards you as hard as I can." With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask this question, whether there's anybody who has said that prayer here for the first time. And if so, I ask you to raise your hand right up and right back down so I can pray for you. Right up, straight up and right back down. Thank you. I will pray for you. Anybody else? Your hand up and right back down. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this message, especially how hard it was for me to deliver it, because there are sometimes that security of the boat feels so good. Yet the excitement of being in the water is so much greater. So, Lord, I just ask that you will take all of us to the next level, whether it's in our personal relationship with you, whether it's the next level in ministry, whether it's the next level with serving God. We lift these prayers up to you, Lord, the loving Jesus that's out there saying, "Come." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.